Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
Does anybody know what this is? Y'all know what this is? Y'all don't? This is a Sam's Club brochure. This is gold around my house. I don't know if y'all check your mailbox, not your email, but the actual box. I don't know if y'all check y'all's mail like that, but mail is a big deal for me. And every single day, somebody's going to check our mail, right? Usually it's Pastor Bob, and I'll ask him, I'll say, hey man, did you check the mail today? He goes, oh yeah. And I'm like, well, what was in it? And I always, basically always get the same response. Nothing, it's just junk. I'm like, hold up. Here's the deal. His definition of junk and mine, when it comes to mail, they are not the same. He thinks this is junk. I'm like, no, sir, that is a book, and I'm going to read it, okay? And so, but to be honest, these are really handy because, you know, we have a monthly food pantry, right? And so I need to know what's on sale, what canned goods and what things they got on sale, because I need to save the church money, right? So it's not junk. Somebody please deliver him from that and tell him this is not junk. But besides that, I get those Costco magazines. Has anybody seen those Costco magazines? They're like, yeah, see, she's got me. Yeah. It's like a whole brochure book thing. And what they do is they give you kind of like a preview of the good stuff that's coming in, right? And you can save a ton of money. If y'all walk in and see that pergola over there by the main entrance, Costco magazine, it was on sale. Saved a lot of money, a lot of money. You know, that's one thing about it. I really can't resist a good sale. Like, I really can't. It's impossible for me to resist a good sale. I mean, that's an opportunity the way I see it. But on the other hand, it could kind of be a problem. Have you ever had something in your life that you just couldn't resist? I'm talking about shopping, but what I really mean is something deep, some strong pull, and you just can't resist it. Like you've tried, and you can't resist it. Well, if you're dealing with that right now, I'm glad you're here today, because I want to talk about what do we do when the urge is just too strong to resist. Let me pray before I get started. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the rain. I thank you for everybody here today. Lord, I pray that today is going to be somebody's one day, the one day that they meet you as their Lord and Savior. And Father, I pray that you just push me out of the way. I surrender my mind, my will, my vocal cords, the very breath of my lungs. Lord, I surrender it to you, and I ask you to speak through me. Father, I pray that your word comes out and flows through this house today, Lord, and that every single one of us is touched deeply and changed forever by the power of your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. So some of the church leaders were getting ready to go on a little trip, right? It's not a road trip. I don't like road trips. We're going to go to Seattle. Right? We're going to go to Seattle, Washington. There's a church conference going on, and a few of us are going to kind of, you know, just get some more stuff, learn more, right? Well, I've been to Seattle before, and I really think that's a cool city. Like, it's a cool city. But what I know about Seattle is that they have a huge, huge homeless problem. And most of the homeless people there are actually addicts. I've seen it. I've seen it walking through the streets of Seattle, downtown Seattle. And it made me sad because, you know, people, you don't start off thinking, oh, I want to grow up and be an addict, right? Nobody starts off like that. But somewhere along the way, they had an urge, an uncontrollable urge, and they just couldn't resist it. They just had to use. And now they're addicted. And it's destroyed their lives. It's totally destroyed their lives. But you know what? Uncontrollable urges have a way of doing that, y'all. They have a way of doing that. Whether it's drugs or alcohol or even a shopping addiction, if you don't get a handle on that, it can destroy you physically and financially. Same thing is true if you can't control your anger. or your mouth. Can't control your mouth. The Bible says that the tongue is a very small thing, but it has the power to set an entire forest on fire. Think about it. How many relationships have you seen or been in that have been destroyed because somebody just couldn't resist the urge to say something or spread something? Now reputations, relationships, they're ruined. Uncontrollable urges are dangerous, y'all, and we got to get a handle on them. So we're going to talk about what it really is. That urge that you can't seem to resist, it's temptation. Temptation. Temptation is anything that promises you satisfaction at the cost of disobedience to God. That urge to gossip, you just can't stop yourself. You may not even know you're doing it, but you always got somebody else's name in your mouth. Or maybe it's your phone. Maybe it's your phone. You just can't put it down. Spending time on your phone is your way of kind of escaping your world around you, right? And you always got your phone. Scrolling through it, checking your emails, checking the sports scores, checking social media. You can't resist your phone. And it's causing you to neglect some things, to neglect your spouse, your children, your responsibilities. Or maybe you're not mindlessly scrolling, you're intentionally seeking out certain sites, sites like OnlyFans. You can't help yourself. You don't want to do it, but that urge is just so strong, you can't resist. Whatever it is, y'all, whether it's drugs, alcohol, cussing people out, partying, gossiping, that urge you feel to do something that's going to lead you to disobey God's word, that urge is called temptation. And the problem with temptation is that if we don't resist it, it will always lead us to sin. Every single time. If you don't resist temptation, it's going to lead you to sin. That's a hard fact. And I don't want you to feel condemned by that, but I can't sugarcoat it either, y'all. We got to face it. Don't be discouraged. You can be encouraged because you know what? Jesus knows exactly how you feel. He knows what it's like to face temptation. Look at what Hebrews 4:15 says. It says that Jesus understands our weaknesses. He was tempted just like we are, and he knows how it feels. But he didn't sin. So how do we get there? How do we avoid the sin when we're tempted? Well, the first thing is that we need to understand that temptation is a process. See, the only way we're going to get free of some stuff is we start looking behind the curtain and seeing what's really going on. So I want to talk about that today. I want to talk about what this temptation, this urge really is. And it starts with a process. It's a process. But we got to short circuit the process so that we can avoid the sin. Four-part process. You have a thought. Starts there. Starts with a thought. Then you start dwelling on it, imagining things, right? Next thing you know, you're justifying why it's okay to do that. And then you act on it. It's a process. Four-step process. Not complicated. But we need to understand how it works so we can avoid the sin. And this is what it might look like. Say you've been feeling a little down lately, right? It's like, oh man, I don't like the way I look. You feel a little down. So you think, I need some new clothes. That's the thought. Then you start envisioning what you're going to look like in that new outfit. Oh, I'm going to look so good. I'm going to feel good. That's the imagination. Then comes justification. You know you're on a budget. You know your money is spoken for, including your tithing. But you know you're going to feel better. Oh, I'm going to feel so good. I'm going to look so good. I'm going to feel good. This new outfit is going to be it. And hey, man, I work hard. I work hard for my money. I deserve it. Plus, you know what? Amazon's got a sale coming on. So I'm going to save money. I'm going to look good. I'm going to feel better about myself. I can tithe next month. God will be all right with that. He'll understand. That's justifying. See how we do that? And the next step is we act on it. You buy the outfit, blow up your budget. Now there's no money left for the bills, much less tithing. That's what the process of temptation might look like for shopping. But whatever your issue is, if there's something that you just can't seem to resist, and that's going to cause you to disobey God, it's temptation. And when you follow through on it, it's sin. Maybe you never thought of it like this before. It's okay. Maybe you're just now realizing, hey man, I've been sinning. It's okay. The beautiful thing about God is that He has grace for us even when we don't know we need it. Leviticus, Old Testament stuff, chapter 4, it tells us that. But it also says once we do know, our next step is to repent. Repent and then receive the forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what repentance is. Repentance means that you completely turn away and then you don't plan to go back. But what if you can't stop yourself? You don't want to go back, but you can't seem to resist that temptation. You're thinking, why does this keep happening? Well, the first thing you need to understand is that temptation is not a sin. Temptation is not a sin. Even Jesus was tempted. Remember? Jesus was tempted. So He knows how it feels. But He also resisted it. So there is a way out. Temptation is not the sin. And I want you to know you're not alone in that. All of us struggle with it. All of us struggle with it. The devil does it to all of us. And the thing is, once you make a decision to live your life for Jesus, that's a huge loss for the kingdom of darkness. So don't think the devil's going to retreat. I'm trying to help somebody today. People get it twisted. You think, oh, Jesus is covering me. It's going to be good. I'm going to be able to take it. The devil is not going to retreat just because you said, I'm following you, Jesus. He's going to keep tempting you. You got to know this. But don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. It happens to us all. And the other thing is, don't let him trick you into thinking that it's not him doing the tempting. It absolutely is the devil tempting you. He's the one that's bringing you that urge that you can't seem to resist. God isn't doing that. God doesn't tempt us, y'all. The Bible says God will test you, but He's not going to tempt you. There's a difference. There's a difference. Temptation is meant to destroy you, to take you out of God's will. Testing from God, that's meant to draw you closer to Him. It's meant to strengthen your faith and your endurance and your perseverance so God can level you up into your purpose, into the purpose He has for your life. And remember, it's good. Look at what James chapter 1 says. I was telling Pastor Bob the other day, man, I love James. We're going to preach a whole month on James. James chapter 1 says, when you are tempted to do wrong, do not say, God is tempting me. God cannot be tempted, and He will never tempt anyone. And then it tells us where it's coming from. A man is tempted to do wrong when he lets himself be led by what his bad thoughts tell him to do. God isn't tempting you. It's those evil thoughts. Remember, temptation starts where? With a thought. And the devil is going to do his best to try to get you to start thinking about those things you used to do. Those things that used to bring you pleasure in the moment, make you feel good about life. He wants you to go back to what you used to do. That's the end game. And somewhere along the line, he's going to say something like this. Well, you already thought about it. That's a sin. You might as well go ahead on and do it. Mm-mm. A thought is not a sin. Mm. You see how he does that? He's tricky. He's tricky. And I'm not saying he's going to say, hey, you. He's not going to come out in your face. It's not going to happen. It's not going to be some thing showing up saying, hey, man, you better. No. It's a thought. He'll shoot what I call a fiery dart, a thought. Hey, you already thought about it. Might as well go ahead and do it because God's already mad at you because you thought about it. Shouldn't be thinking about those things. That's a lie. Don't fall for it. Temptation is not a sin. It's a thought. A thought, an urge, but it's not a sin. The other thing you need to know about temptation is this, and I really need you to hear me on this. You are most vulnerable when you are weak. And when you think you're strong. You're most vulnerable to giving in to temptation when you are physically weak. You're tired. You're hungry. You're sick. Maybe you're sick. You're exhausted. You're stressed out. Something physical is going on. And the devil knows it. He knows when you're physically going through something. Look, he can't read your mind, but he's very observant. He sees and he's listening. So when you're physically weak, sick, hungry, tired, whatever, the devil knows. And he's going to do his best to tempt you in that moment. In that moment of weakness. He did it to Jesus. He's going to do it to us. Matthew chapter 4 tells us, listen to this. It says, when Jesus was in the wilderness, he had been fasting, going without food for 40 days in the wilderness. Satan came at him and he tempted him in a very, very specific way, y'all. The devil knew Jesus was weak because he hadn't eaten. He was hungry. So Satan tempted Jesus with food. He said, if you really are who you say you are, then you know what? Take these rocks and turn them into some bread and eat already. He attacked Jesus exactly where he knew Jesus was weak in that moment. He's going to do the same thing to us. What's your weak spot? What's your weak spot? Is it food? Is it alcohol? Drugs? Lust? What's your weak spot? You got to be honest. You got to figure it out. Be honest and be vulnerable because where you're weak, you are vulnerable. You got to face it. Call it out. Don't sit in the dark and hide out of shame or guilt. Expose your weaknesses and expose it to those people who you know are going to pray for you. They're going to pray for you. They're going to encourage you. They're going to help you walk through the healing process. Get it out. Get it out. Don't let the devil keep using it against you because you want to hide it. If you're struggling in that area, he knows it. And you got to let it out. You can't listen to those voices that tell you. You can't tell them that. You can't tell those people that. They're going to judge you. That's a lie. Nobody's judging anybody in this place. That's a lie. You'd be surprised how many people struggle with the same thing you're struggling with. Every single person in this room has a weak spot. We all do. Mine might not look like yours, but we all have one. We can't be hiding our weaknesses, y'all, thinking we can handle it on our own. We got to be open and transparent. Confess your weaknesses, and then let's pray for each other. That way we can all be healed. Be open. You know what? I'll start. I'll go first. One of my weaknesses is when I'm angry or I'm frustrated. It used to be when I was scared, but not no more. It's when I'm angry and I'm frustrated because that's when I'm more vulnerable to temptation in a moment of anger or frustration. And if I'm not careful, something's going to come out of my mouth that is not of God. Sometimes I get real tempted to cuss people out. I'm just saying. Y'all pray for me. Now that you know, pray for me so I can be free of that. Because that's what I'm going to do for you. You come and you tell me you got a weakness. Hey, man, I am going to encourage you. I am going to pray for you. We all have a weak spot. Maybe your weak point is when you're lonely or hurting. And you know what, man? Lately, you and your spouse, y'all been going at it. Y'all been warring. You've been arguing and fighting, and you are just so sick and tired of all the drama. You are physically exhausted from it all. So you think, you know what? I'm just going to go with my friends and have a little drink and chill out and just kind of take a break. Don't be surprised. You're vulnerable. the enemy will create an opportunity for somebody out there that you might happen to think is a little attractive, that somebody's going to come up to you. You're going to start chit-chatting. You're drinking. You're chit-chatting. You're vulnerable. You start telling them about all the drama that's going on at home. You open up, and they're just so understanding. Mm-hmm. Devil's got an agenda. Devil's got an agenda. Wake up. Mm-hmm. You may be thinking you're strong. Oh, I can handle this. I'll just flirt a little bit, chit-chat, feel a little better about myself. But do not let the enemy fool you. You are vulnerable to temptation when you're weak. And you're also vulnerable when you think you're strong. Oh, I can handle this on my own. I don't need nobody. I don't need to go to no group and share stuff. I can handle this. Really? You know what? You're actually really vulnerable when you think you're strong. Be careful. Be careful. You know, the Bible is a book of wisdom, the whole thing. It is so powerful. Look at what 1 Corinthians 10:12 says. It says, so those who think they are standing need to watch out, or else they may fall. If you think you're strong, you're not going to fall for that. Be careful, because guess what? It's when you think you're strong that you're really weak. That's right. And that makes you very vulnerable to those urges you're struggling to resist, to temptation. And this is exactly why 1 Peter 5:8 tells us we have to stay alert, be sober. Yes. How many times, oh Lord, how many times have you been a little buzzed and done some dumb stuff? That's why you got to be sober. I'm not judging you right there. Because you know what? The Bible says that the enemy of your soul is roaming around like a lion. He's not the lion. He's a poser. He's a fake. He pretends to be a lion, but he's still looking for someone to destroy. You know, John 10:10 tells us his only goal, Satan's only goal, is to steal, kill, and destroy. Sir, sir, ma'am, miss, pay attention. The devil wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to devour your finances. He wants to tempt you to go back and do that stuff you used to do because he wants to steal your testimony. He wants to rob you of your peace. Go on, spend that money. You'll be all stressed out because you're broke. He wants to steal your peace. He wants to steal your joy. And you know what? Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy in the lives of your children too. Hear me. Please listen to me, y'all. Christianity is not a playground. It is a battlefield. It's a battlefield. I'm not telling you this to scare you. I'm telling you because you need to be aware that the forces of darkness are attacking you. And when you're in the will of God, they're going to come harder and more. They're going to come against you. So don't be surprised when you're tempted. But don't think you can't resist that. Stay alert. Keep your guard up. Stay sober. Pay attention. Figure out where you're weak. Because that's the door. That's the door the devil's using to get in to wreak havoc in your life. Satan needs an open door. He's a legalist. The devil is a legalist. That means he knows the rules. Pretty much plays by the rules. He knows what he can and can't do. Remember, Satan went to God and asked God's permission to mess with Job. Satan has to have permission. And sin opens the door for him to mess up your life. You got to close those doors. You got to close the doors. He can't just bust the door down, but he will walk in that door that you keep opening up and saying, come on. He'll tempt you in your point of weakness because he knows what it is. He knows the door you keep opening. When you keep giving into that urge, here's the other thing. It gets harder and harder not to. Right. 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 That's why he keeps going there. Because he knows it's going to get harder and harder. That's why you have to resist Shut that door. I want you to let this empower you. I want you to be empowered. Pay attention. Stay alert. Those things in your life that have you in a stranglehold, you can't get out of it. You can't resist the temptation. It's because you keep opening the door. And I know that some of you, you don't want to do that. You're not trying to do that. You want to be able to resist that urge. You want to be free. But you're not sure how can you shut that door. Or can you even shut that door? You can. You can. Jesus Christ empowers us. He that is in us is greater than he that's in this world. You can do it. But you're going to have to do what you can do. And the first thing you can do is you can remove that temptation from your life. To resist temptation, eliminate it. Eliminate it. Think about that. That's simple. It's true, right? One of the things, y'all know this, one of the things that used to bring a lot of junk into my life was alcohol. And here's the deal. I wasn't one of those closet drinkers in the house. Now, I'm not judging nobody. That's what you do. I'm just saying for me, I was a go out and party drinker. And I used to love to dance. Country dance, Tejano dance, whatever. I love to go out and dance. But the thing is, every single time I would go out, I would drink. And I would drink. And I would drink a lot. And you know what? Bad things happened. I did things that I had to repent of. And I realized I had a problem with this. I had a problem with this drinking. It was messing me up. And so you know what? I decided I got to stop drinking. But here's what the devil does. He lies. He lied to me and said, well, you can still go out. Just don't drink. Oh, that's so easy. That's the target. That's the trigger. Took me a while to figure that out. A lot of pressing into God and asking him, why do I keep doing this? Show me. Alcohol was my weakness, y'all. So one day I made a decision. I'm going to stop going out. I'm going to stop going out because that was how I would always open the door. That was the door that the enemy was coming through because I was drinking. So I shut the door and I locked it. And if you want to be free, you're going to have to do the same thing. You're going to have to take a stand, draw a line in the sand, ask God to help you. But then you've got to close the door. You got to lock it tight and then don't open it again. That weak area that you know the devil's been using against you, shut it down, y'all. Shut it down. You've got to learn to say, not today, devil. You're not going to come and mess with me. You better figure it out. Find another way. But that's not the way you're going to mess with me anymore. You got to learn to get that down in your spirit. Draw a line in the sand. Proverbs 4:14 says, do not set foot on the path of the wicked. Don't proceed in the way of evil. Don't even go there. That's what it says. Stop going back to that place or that thing or that relationship that's leading you away from God. You know what it is. You know, we know what we're doing. We don't need nobody telling us. You know what it is. You're going to have to close that door if you're ever going to be able to resist that urge. If you've got a problem with lust, and every single time you go to the gym, you're over there working out saying, oh, glory to God, look at that over there. Then you need to work out at home. Stay home. Go to the Segunda, go to Goodwill, get you some of them little free weights, figure it out. Look at YouTube, figure out how to use them, but don't go back to that gym because that's the door. Mm-hmm. If you got a problem with cussing people out, maybe when you're angry, oops, find you some new words. Find some new words. Use your words. You know, I heard once, I read somewhere that when you cuss, it's because you can't find a word that's strong enough to convey that deep sentiment that you're feeling. You don't have another word. Okay, so expand your vocabulary. Figure it out. Instead of cussing somebody out on 281, pray for them. Don't pray the brakes go out. Pray they're blessed. A huge way to resist temptation, y'all, is to what? Close the door that leads to it. Whenever you can, shut the door, eliminate the temptation. And I need you to know something. When you are tempted, you can still walk away. God will always give you an escape route. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this: no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to humanity. See, the devil tells you, oh, you're the only one. No, you're not. It's common to humanity. And God is faithful, and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to bear. Amen. But with the temptation, he will always provide a way of escape so that you are able to stand against it. It says bear it, but that's stand against it. Right. This verse tells us no matter how strong that urge is, and I am not trying to minimize it. I understand addiction. I firsthand understand addiction, y'all. I'm not making light of this. But I want you to know you are not powerless. You are not powerless. You can still resist it and walk away. You may be resisting it going, oh, you can still do it. No matter what you're dealing with, God will always, always, always give you a way out of temptation. That's how he is. He is so loving. He's so faithful. He's never going to leave you on your own. The word says he will never leave you or forsake you. You're not stuck to fend for yourself. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter where it is, who it is, or how many times you keep going back to it. God will always give you an off-ramp, an escape route. And I want to tell you right now, the way out is through his word.
Come on, say that again.
It's through his word. The word of God. Man, that's all we got, y'all. That's all we need. Hebrews 4:12 says that God's word is active. It's alive. It's sharper than any double-edged sword of temptation, any thought that comes in your mind. It cuts through everything, even temptation. So you have to learn the word. Learn it. Get in your Bible. Find some scriptures that talk about what you're dealing with. Find some scriptures that encourage you when you're tempted to give in. Some verses that empower you. Increase your hope and your faith. Fight back. Don't just lay down and think it's always going to be this way. No, it's not. The devil's lying to you. It doesn't have to always be that way. I am a living, breathing testimony to the fact that it doesn't have to be this way. You can get free. I don't care what you're addicted to. Man. I get back on my notes. Get in the word, y'all. It is so. The word got me out of the darkest places. You have no idea. You have no idea the depth of the sin and the darkness I was in. And the word is what lifted me out. There's a verse that says, you lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire, and you set my feet on a rock, and you put a song of praise in my mouth for God Almighty so people would know. The word. Fight back. It doesn't have to always be this way. Learn the word, work the word, live it, internalize it, memorize it, live it out. And then when he comes back at you all kinds of crazy, fight back with the word of God. That's what Jesus did. It's exactly what Jesus did. Go back to Matthew. The devil came at Jesus and said, if you're the Son of God, turn these rocks into bread. And you know what Jesus said? He said very clearly, he didn't argue, he didn't get down, it is written. And then he quoted the scripture. It is written. Every single time the devil came at him, he said, it is written. Jesus went to the word because he knows it's our weapon. It's our weapon against the evil in our lives and in this world. You know, I find that kind of interesting when you think about it. It's almost comical. Here the word is quoting the word. Because John says, he's the word. And the word became flesh and it dwelt among us. Jesus is the word. So the word is quoting his own word.
That's right.
And y'all, the devil is so trifling, he kept coming back. It's like, dude, he's going to do that. And don't be fooled into thinking he's a joke. The devil is no joke. He has no power against Jesus. He has power against us by ourselves, but not against Jesus. And when we carry Jesus in our heart, we have what we need to resist him. Stay on your game. Keep the word of God in your heart. That's the way you're on. That's the only way you're ever going to be able to resist that urge, that temptation. You know, the psalmist says in Psalm 119:11, I have hidden your word in my heart, Lord, so that I won't sin against you. That's powerful. That's what we got to do. And you know, I pray that scripture over my grandchildren's lives every night. Pastor Bob and I do. These kids, they're going to hide your word in their heart so they won't sin against you. I am making a declaration to anything that's out there listening. You're not messing with them. You're not going to do it. Do it over your own children. Do it over your life. And then hide the word of God in your heart. Words create worlds. That's how God did it. He said, let there be. He spoke it. We have creative power through Jesus Christ. We can speak worlds into existence. And God's word is your way out of temptation. Church, we got to stay alert. We got to stay alert. You can't be snoozing on this. We got to stay sober. We got to be on guard. Christianity is not a playground. The devil's roaring around like a lion trying to take you out. And he's trying to take the lives of your children too. He's lying to you. He's lying to them. He's lying about your marriage. He's trying to talk you out of the will of God. You got to remember that. And he does it by promising you pleasure and fulfillment, happiness, security in the moment. And you got to recognize that it's all going to be at the cost of disobedience to God. Stay alert. Stay on guard. And then know that you are going to sin. We all do. We all do. And then you're going to feel sorry. Well, unless you've hardened your heart. And you keep doing it so much, you've talked yourself into thinking it's not a sin, but that's another message. We're all going to fall. And when you give in to temptation, it's going to happen. We all sin. The Bible says we all fall short of the glory of God. And when that happens, usually it's accompanied by a feeling of sorrow, right? Sorry for what I did. Brandon, if you'll come. And when that happens, just remember, you got to make sure it's godly sorrow and not worldly sorrow. There's a big difference. Big difference. Worldly sorrow is basically being sorry because you got caught. That's worldly sorrow. So when someone confronts you about it, you start getting defensive, making excuses, gaslighting, trying to minimize the pain that you know you caused somebody else. Y'all, that kind of sinfulness, that takes you away from God. That's worldly sorrow. But godly sorrow, that's a deep, 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 sincere brokenness in your heart over what you did. You recognize it. And it's that sorrow that drops you to your knees and you're crying out to God, oh my God, what did I do? I am so, so sorry. Help me. You know you caused pain to someone else. You know you broke their heart and you know you broke God's heart with that sin. And when you experience that kind of sorrow, that's the best kind to have. Because you know what? Then you can actually receive the mercy and the grace of God because you know you don't deserve it. You're aware of your frailty. You're aware of it. And you know that what you did was wrong. It hurt somebody and it hurt God. And you don't deserve God's forgiveness and mercy. But friends, in that moment of humility, when you're broken by your own sinfulness, that's when you're actually able to receive God's mercy and his forgiveness. And it changes you. It changes you. You're different deep down in your very being. You're different. Your heart's not the same. And you don't want to go back and do that again. There's worldly sorrow. It's not my fault. You did it too. Why are you trying to call me out? And then there's godly sorrow. True brokenness, y'all. The sorrow that leads you to cry out to God and receive his forgiveness and be reconciled to him. It's the true sorrow that brings you to repentance. The Bible says godly sorrow brings repentance. that real turning away from the sin and the turning back to God, the decision that you never want to do it again. See, godly sorrow doesn't look back in regret. That's what worldly sorrow does. Godly sorrow looks ahead and it leads to salvation. Salvation from sin. Remember, the urge you can't seem to resist is temptation. And it's going to promise you satisfaction at a high, high price. It's going to cost you disobedience to God. And it's never worth it. Resist temptation at all costs. You can do that through Jesus Christ. Wherever you're weak, immediately shut the door to the enemy in that area. Eliminate the thing that you can't seem to resist. Get it out of your life. And when you do fall, when you give in to the sin, don't let the enemy hold you down. Turn back to God. He's waiting. He's right there. Turn back to Him. Repent, and repent from a place of true brokenness for what happened, what you did. Ask God to forgive you, and then let Him heal you and change you from the inside out. He's faithful, and He will. Amen? Will you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, we love You so much. God, I thank You. I thank You that You are faithful. There's no dark hole that we could ever fall in that You can't draw us out of. Lord, I pray right now in this moment that You help us push back the forces of darkness that are trying to mess with us, Lord. Give us the strength that we need. Empower us through Your word. Give us a desire in our hearts to hide Your word deep in our hearts, to live it, to walk it out, Father, because we know there's strength in You. Thank You, God. Thank You for who You are. Thank You never leave us or forsake us. You're always there showing us a way out, calling us back to You. God, in those moments that we just can't resist that temptation, strengthen us, whisper to us, and then give us ears to hear Your voice calling us back to You. We love You, Lord. Father, forgive us. Forgive us, God, when we step out of Your will. And thank You that we can come boldly before Your throne and receive mercy and grace when we need it, Father. And even when we don't even know we need it. Thank You that through Jesus, we can receive that. Thank You for Jesus, Lord. We love You, God. I pray this word sticks in our heart today and that we're not discouraged. We are encouraged knowing that through Jesus Christ, we have what we need to resist the temptation of the enemy. We have what we need to eliminate it from our lives, to walk away. Father, give us a new boldness, a new courage, a new strength today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank You. If you just keep your eyes closed and your heads bowed just a little bit longer. If you're here and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, maybe you have before and you fell back. Friend, you can come back. You can come back at any time. And right now is a great time. All you got to do is let that godly sorrow rise up in your heart right now. Let it rise up in you and truly repent. It's just one simple prayer. You pray it and then you mean it with your whole heart. And Jesus will come into your life, wash you clean, and forgive you. All you have to do is pray this prayer. And if that's you, pray it after me. Believers, if you would pray it just to encourage those. Dear Jesus, I repent of my sin. I ask You, God, forgive me. Wash me clean. Come into my heart. I make You my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name.